Okay.
But I assumed the trusteeship of the elementary school because that was a larger school, because that was about 27 or 30 teachers or more. Then I was interested in the instructional program, and I found I could work better in the elementary school with the teachers that I could in the high school, because that relieved me of this football, all these extracurricular activities, you know, staying on the ball. So I requested the elementary school, and then they put a principal in the high school, and we operate on the same campus.
Oh, the same campus, but you had two principals on the same campus. Yeah. All right, I see.
Both schools use the same lunchroom.
Uh-huh, I see.
And still, we had no, at that time, they had separate, they had not desegregated the schools, you know, requiring, just working on requiring so many, the racial, so many white, so many black. And so I worked there for 2 years like that, and then finally I had some trouble with the, this had nothing to do with it being it was desegregation. I had some problem with the associate superintendent, some regarding the Title I program. And because of that, and had tenure too, because of that, rather than the firing, and they thought maybe it degraded me, sending me in the country to elementary school with about 15 teachers. And that was fine with me after work all these years, all about 50 or 67 some teachers. All of them, that was fine to me.
Piece of cake.
And they said my dad on and I didn't contest it, but it was all right me, because I didn't have my glory of big school. But that was not regarding
it was just more of a political and personal thing.
Some things that I was asked to do, and I didn't do them for, you know.
And you were right.
Yeah, I felt I was right. And so I could have made a case out of it. And I talked with my father about it. He said, well, see, you probably got a good case, so you probably win. He said, if you win, where are you going? See, you ready to leave home?
So you just took the lesson, even just went on and took that school out there.
Yeah, and it was most enjoyable.
I bet it was a small group.
Yeah, I had no problem with it. They put me out there, and very soon they come out and see what I was doing.
Left you on your own.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy your job, and why?
Yeah, I enjoyed the job. I like interacting with people, like helping people and seeing people being helped, and seeing the rewards of as a result of working with teachers and pupils. And some I think it was two, as in I had two teachers to leave me, and one went to California, one went to New York and to work, you know, got in the school system up there. And they sent word back. In fact, they let it be known that say, if you work under that man, say, you can work anywhere in the United States. They said they had no problem in the school system in New York or in California working. See, because he was on the ball, he kept you abreast of what was going on. And I felt real good about that. And I've had students, you know, to finish, and they come back and say nice things in terms of where they felt that I'd helped them. And even though they said I was pretty hard on them, but I was hard for a reason, because, you know, I've been out in the world, black. I know what the black world was like. And they, you know, you could have rose now and then, but most of the time you get them thorns stuck in you.
You better be ready for them.
And another reason I enjoyed it too, I think I learned that when I was at the State Central University. Dr. Shepherd was president, because he was the founding president. So he used to have a chapter every week. And then when I came out and started teaching the principal, we had a chapter every week. So then when I came to this school, I had a chapter every week, because I saw a lot of good in it, because you could develop, help people develop all kinds of things, you know, for dramatics, stage fright, a lot of things can happen. We had two, three glee clubs, choirs and all that at school, because in the elementary school, I think we had at least three. And I would always try to get me, make sure I had three or four music teachers around. And once upon a time, before they integrated, I think that school was the only school that had a good music program going on. And it was many reasons for that, as far as I'm concerned, you know. There's so many things that you can learn through music that you're not able to learn through.
All right, that's right. But that's one of the things that I noticed, the 64 principals all talk about their chapels, and you know, we don't have them anymore.
No, and see, and then what I would do when I had those chapels, you know, if the students messed up, the teachers messed up, I get them all in chapel and give them hell. I said, them white folks don't care nothing about you, and you here, we here, we got to do the best thing we can. And that didn't do it. I'd have a meeting with the teachers, and they said, yeah, we have one of them. I said, these are our kids, we got to stick here, we got to work them. But see, when they integrated, you couldn't have no separate meeting. And a lot of times, after I left this school, went out in the country, then I had some white teachers out. And a lot of times, I wanted to say something, but because of resentment, I couldn't say them things like I used to say.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But then when I had them conference, I would give them.
You talk the talk in the conference.
Yes, sir.
What do you consider the major problem in your principalship? What was your major problem?
I have to think. I know I didn't have no problem with administration and organization and planning. That was just right down my line. I can't recall any major problem as far as me being connected to the school and operating the school. I didn't call it a real major problem. Other than that you couldn't get no money to do things you want to do with. And they would give you, and you know, they had a different ratio or different amount to give the blacks and give the white schools anyway. Because I remember this one during the school, this one during when I was principal. Yes, it was too. But I know, as a product of the county, and finished elementary and high school in the county, I know that we didn't get our fair share of the funds. But I remember when they didn't have any buses in this county for black. You know, and my father and one or two more bought some buses, you know, I mean, bought some the bread wagons, they call them. And they took the racks out and put seats in them, and they bought the gas so the students could be transferred to school. But not this school, that was one in the country. And finally, makes long story short, finally they were paying for the gas, and my dad went to see the superintendent at that time and told me, well, my dad real confident, act like he's stupid. He's stupid, you know. He in some kind of way is stupid. He told me that the white folks were getting gas, and he wondered why we couldn't get no gas. So the superintendent told him, yeah, you can get it. So go ahead and tell the parents this evening that when your bus go by there, what was the bag, tell the man to put some gas and send the ticket up here.
So that's how you started getting the gas.
Yeah, and then finally got the maintenance, and then finally got a hand-me-down bus. And because we had something to turn in for a bus.
We got a lot of hand-me-downs.
And see, the books was hand-me-down. Everything was hand-me-down, you know.
What do you consider most rewarding about your principalship?
I guess I would say trying to figure out a state. I really don't know what was most rewarding. It was rewarding to me after I got in there, to be able to, it was a challenge to me. After I worked at it and continued to be a challenge, to be involved and participate with students and teachers trying to make things happen.
And I guess those rewards are when you see students now.
Yeah, when I see students now, I come back, come home, or see that it's rewarding to see what achievement, accomplishment they made, and that was something I thought would never make, and they have surprised me and come out to be lawyers, doctors, and et cetera, you know. Yeah. And some of them went to jail, but I couldn't, you know.
Couldn't do it.
That's part of the segment of society. I mean, same percentage going to do this, same percentage going to do other things. But I think on the whole, the most important thing was to see the improvement and see the accomplishment of students and teachers I work with.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, there's just a small number of black high school principals now. And if you knew of a young person that wanted to be a high school principal, black girl or boy, young man or young woman, what advice would you give the individual?
That's a pretty good question. When you look at the political setting and look at those stereotype attitudes out there, it's hard to me to really say or suggest. But I would suggest or recommend that person first learn something about human relations. How to get along with people, how to interact with people. And that would help him to limit a lot of problems, a lot of stereotype problems and stereotype attitudes, if he can learn a lot about human relations, how to deal with people, how to get along with people. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be one of my suggestions and recommendations, because I think that's most important.
Mm-hmm. You have any words of wisdom?
Who's that to have some words of wisdom? Just a minute, let me find something here.
Okay. I'm going to use Mr. Williams has here an inspirator, and then he has a booklet that he's going to allow me to take and make a copy of and send back, because he has a lot of words of wisdom in here, and we couldn't begin to put all of it on the tape. So I'm going to make a copy and then send it back to him. Okay. Mr. Williams, I really appreciate you taking your time today. This interview has been very informative and enlightening. And you said at the beginning that you might have some problems with memory, but I don't think you have. And as you began to reminisce, I could see the smile on your face, and you remembered being that principal, and I could see the authority and all of the knowledge just coming to fore as your forefront as you talked. And I know that you have done a lot for black boys and girls, and I'm sure that as long as somebody who went to M. Borden is alive, they'll remember you for what you've done for them. And I appreciate you taking the time today.
Well, I appreciate you coming and for the interview. I've enjoyed it. It's sharpened my wits a little bit by you coming in, and as I said, I enjoy talking about this kind of information, because rather I get an opportunity to talk to people specifically about specific things in area education. Mm-hmm. And maybe they might be interested or have the time and not concerned. And when I retired, I really put that book together, hopeful that it would help somebody somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm hoping that this research that I'm doing will be beneficial to folk who want to understand the administrator. The black administrator is becoming a rare breed.
But
I have found just interviewing the principals from now and then, we have really strong leaders, and we need that type of leadership as the country is becoming more minority.
Right.
We need minority leadership. So I'm hoping that this will help help us to find the kinds of leaders that we need and put them in the places where they need to be, because school is the place we touch the children.
Right.
And our future is determined there. And a lot of things that are happening to our black communities, I think if we had more role models and men like you who held them to the point and said, we don't do this, we don't do it this way, because I know what you're going to face.
Right.
They'd be able to make it in society.
Well, I hope that it will have a cause people attitudes or minds to focus on the real issue. Because as you said, we do have a problem with role models. I mean, as far as black male role models. And of course, there's many reasons for the black role model being eliminated or not being where it's supposed to be. A lot of things that happen in some instances, to be frank, we black sometimes have been responsible for not having black role model, not intentionally, but some things we said and some things we've done, trying to be helpful. And it didn't really help. It harmed more than help, you know.
For an instance, what do you mean? Like,
For instance, in some instances, not too many, in some instances, we have said things to black males we shouldn't have said, but we're trying to help them. Sometimes we, and they got that we was degrading them, but we had to say it the way we knew how to say it. And sometimes we just didn't need to say it that way. Sometimes it's just like with parents. Most parents care for the children and try to help them, but sometimes they fail to help them because they do the wrong thing or say the wrong thing, but they're not trying to harm them. And so I think in that instance, we have helped this problem, not intentionally, because of some things we have said, and some, maybe sometimes the way we have interact. And of course, we interact based on what we knew and our experiences, trying to help, and then always help, and put those things together, and all these other things, then that might be somewhat responsible for some of the failures of black males. Now, I was talking with somebody one day, they was talking about the role model of black male. I said, now, I said, to some extent, black mothers are somewhat responsible for the black male's
image.
That's
right, that's true.
They have more to do with it than anybody else. And I'll hear them say that. So you just like your old side dad.
That's right.
Or you just like somebody on the street. But they're trying to help, but that ain't the way you do it.
Yeah, that's true. Do you have any, have you thought about the situation with black high school principals? Do you have any reason in your mind, or you think of any rationale for the reason we don't have black men as principals of high schools?
Well, the only thing I can say is it's a stereotype, traditional attitude on the part of most people in the political structure, because they're white. And they still believe that we are incompetent, that we're not capable of having enough people or controlling or supervising.
And I found that the younger men say that it's absolutely necessary to have a sponsor of the other race to say that he is capable. They have to have someone to give them that the assurance to the other folk that he can do it. Most of them have to work for quite a few years as an assistant principal before they ever get the chance to try. They're not as lucky as you just to move on up.
I see another thing I don't particularly like about this assistant principalship. I don't know that much about it. I'm out of the business, but I know that most time they place the assistant principal, some of them have two or three, but when they don't have a one, they always assign most time it was a black assistant. They always signed him all the discipline problems.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he needs to be an instructional program or the curriculum need to be involved in that. He doesn't need those discipline problems. See, and as long as you do that, he's going to have a hard time becoming a principal.
That's right. That was one of the points that was brought out, too. They get to do buses and discipline, and they never get to do budget. They never get to work with the curriculum. And then when they go for an interview, they're unable to interview well because they haven't had those experiences.
Those experiences. And I have said, if I was, in one sense, I'd love to be principal and have an assistant, because I would put them in everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this one would be the farthest thing from his duty, as far as I was concerned.
Mm-hmm. Was I had someone told me that that was one thing they prided themselves on, because they had trained men in that. As they trained them, they were able to do everything, and they were able to take principalships themselves.
Yeah, well, I trained, I get the credit for training a lot of principals that were in this county. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Four or five of them came out.
Came from under you. Well, that's good. That's very good.
And of course, you didn't have assistant principals as such, but I would have somebody to be my assistant, and then I would sign them a lot of things along with the classroom doing, and I'd figure out some way. And sometimes he couldn't be in his class, you know, going back, improvising a way to get around on it,
mm-hmm.
and learn them how to do the all kinds of reports and all that, you know. And then when the time came for them, they moved on to the position. They didn't have a whole lot of problems, you know, as far as the job is, not knowing what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I said, if I was principal now, at this day, I don't care whether white, black, who agreed with my assistant, he would know as much about the operation of the school as I would know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's very good. All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Williams.
I thank you so much. I've enjoyed it. And I hope that this information will be of some help to you and to some other people, other sources.
It will.